Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
All right, our thanks and gratitude, I guess that's redundant, to those of you who have waited on the line to get on during the second hour of our open forum for non-Catholics. I am Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, and you can also catch me on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie, weekdays at noon Eastern Time and a replay at midnight Eastern Time on many of these same EWTN affiliates. It's always a joy to be with you on this program. Thanks for your listenership and your phone calls. And again, for the second hour here, we are taking calls from those of you who do not identify as Catholics. But maybe you are Catholic curious or maybe Catholic challenging. The only thing that we really ask on this program, which has been going on for years and years on Catholic Answers Live, is that you show charity and we'll do the same thing. Let's be polite. Let's have a civil discourse. If there's something you feel a little bit contentious about, again, maybe you're just curious. Maybe you're on your way into the Catholic Church, out of the Catholic Church, whatever the case may be. 888-318-7884. And as promised, Tim Staples is here. He is the director of apologetics at Catholic Answers, himself a convert to the Catholic faith. Tim, how long have you been a Catholic now? It's over 20 years, right?
Oh, it's hard to believe, but it's been 30 years, my friend. 1988, I came
into
the
church. You are old.
I'm old, yes. It is. I got to say, Jerry, it's kind of weird when I say that to folks. Yeah, I remember 32 years ago, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be able to say that, right? I'm not right. That old. Well, I guess I am.
But you're looking great, and you're sounding great with all of your answers, so thank you so much for being back with us. And we still, to this day, rejoice, Tim, in the work that God has done in your life and all converts. And, those of us who are cradle Catholics, We don't know what life is like outside of the Catholic Church, and you do. And yeah. I know that you just so much enjoy sharing your enthusiasm for Catholicism with those who are not Catholic but might be on a kind of a similar journey that you took.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, at times, Jerry, still, even to this day after 30 years, not only me, but my entire family, we all converted. My family thought I was crazy when I converted. And my mother, my father, who just passed away a couple of years ago, my three brothers, two sisters-in-law, everybody's
one brother who's a Catholic priest now.
Yes, Terry, which is an incredible miracle because he wanted to cast demons out of me when I became Catholic.
Is that
now,
right?
And now he's the Catholic priest. But, every once in a while, especially when we're together, say at the holidays or something, we'll look around and just say, isn't this crazy? It's still kind of right. Surreal that the whole family is Catholic. And it is totally God's grace that brought that about. But it has really transformed our family from the inside out. And I will be obviously forever grateful to God for that.
Yeah. And God brought you a beautiful Catholic wife, Valerie, and you've got seven beautiful Catholic kids, and the legacy just continues. So,
amen.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about? We got a lot of calls.
No, I'm ready. This is my favorite hour.
All right. Open forum for non-Catholics. 888-318-7884. Thank you for holding through the break. Dave in Arlington, Virginia is first listening on the app, the Catholic.com app. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. I noticed that in the Nicene Creed, the specific miracles that are mentioned are the virgin birth, the resurrection, and the ascension.
Right.
But are Catholics required to believe all the other miracles that happen in the Synoptics and the Gospel of John as well?
Right. That's a great question. And yes, as a general rule, the Church accepts now dogmatically at Vatican Council I, defined infallibly, that miracles are the principal way that God verifies the truth of revelation. It's a remarkable statement there from the council. Now, it didn't get into specific miracles there, but it condemns the notion that, you know, God, number one, can't perform miracles, and that the miracles recorded in Scripture, specifically, it says, are explained in other ways. That proposition is condemned as well. So as a general rule, yes, Catholics are required to believe the miracles. And you have more examples of this in Catholic teaching when the Catechism, for example, will use John chapter 6, for example, the miracles of the loaves and the fishes as precursors for the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our Catholic faith. You know, so throughout the history of the Church, you'll find peppered in, even on the ordinary magisterial level, references to the miracles of sacred Scripture as just that, as miracles. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have folks, unfortunately, Dave, you're not going to have folks who claim Catholicism their own to say things, ludicrous things like, you know, you may have heard this one, Dave. In fact, my wife and I were in church. In fact, it was our last Sunday at a particular church when we heard the priest say that the miracles of the loaves and fish in John chapter 6 was actually the miracle of everyone realizing that they had some loaves and they had some fish and they just wanted to share with everyone. And that was the miracle, which, of course, is contrary to the teaching of the Catholic faith. Unfortunately, Dave, we do have problems in the church with sons and daughters of the church fully living up to and teaching the teachings of the church. But yes, Catholics are required to believe in miracles like these.
Okay, Dave?
Okay, thank you.
All right, brother. God bless you.
Thank you for the call. It reminds me of a well-known phrase, Tim, by the late beloved Father Benedict Groeschel. And
yes.
If I can kind of impersonate him, he would say to people looking into the Catholic Church, he would say, "Come on in, it's awful."
That's right. With that
come
beautiful,
on in, it's awful.
That beautiful lisp of his, right?
Yeah. Yes. Come on in, it's awful.
And I'm sure St. Paul would have said that, you know, in the first century, dealing with churches like Corinth, where, you know, you have a litany of the problems going on in the Corinthian church there in 1 Corinthians especially. Come on in. It is awful because we are a big tent, to use a political, a worn out term. We are a big tent in that we do believe in a family covenantal relationship with God. We baptize babies. So because you baptize doesn't mean that everybody is going to have the same experience and have the same level of commitment. Some folks, when they reach the age of accountability, are not going to cooperate with God's grace. But guess what? They're still members of the family. In fact, it takes a lot to get yourself kicked out of this family.
Right.
Because we keep folks close to our bosom. You know, as Jesus himself talks about in Matthew chapter 13, you know, when he is parable of the weeds and the wheat, he says, you know, be careful. Let the weeds and the wheat grow up together. And in the end, God will come and separate them, and the weeds will be bundled and cast in the fire, and the wheat, of course, will be gathered into the barn, which means, you know, not that the church doesn't ever excommunicate and that sort of thing, but it's very rare. As a general rule, we hold to our Lord's teaching. You know, we're a big tent, and we got folks at all different levels, and the church calls all of us, our Holy Father calls all of us, to repent and believe the gospel.
Okay, back to your calls. Open forum for non-Catholics today on Catholic Answers Live. Princeton, New Jersey. Jed, you are on the program with Tim Staples. Hi, Jed. Welcome. Thanks for your call.
Hi. I am an atheist. I was a deist until about 16, and then I became an atheist, running out now for 4 years.
Right.
I'm 20 years old. And my question is, recently, since about the 80s to 90s, religion in the U.S. has been going down. I think about 5% of the U.S. population is atheist, and I think 10 to 15 is a non-believer. And I wanted to know your opinion on why that is.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jed. I think some of it has to do, I mean, it's, I would say there are many factors. We could go back to the Enlightenment, you know, so-called, the Reformation even, I believe, Jed, has led to this in this sense, that once the reformers, and I don't like to call them reformers because the true reformers were St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Philip Neri, St. Charles Borromeo, St. Pius V. I refer to the Protestants as the Protestant Reformation, properly so-called, as a rebellion, because that more accurately gets at what it was. But once they threw off the authority of the church, what immediately happens is Luther found people would say to him, well, if you throw off the authority of the church, why am I following you? And so Zwingli leaves Luther. And, you know, within the lifetime of Luther, I've read there were roughly 30 to 40 sects that began. And so it began, you know, it sort of gets reduced to what you find in the Old Testament in Judges 17. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And once that chaos is created to where there is genuine confusion, nobody knows what the truth is, it lends itself to unbelief. This is why I believe, Jed, you look at Scandinavia, which was once solid Catholic, and now you have a very, very large atheist population there. I think that's at the tail end of the rejection of God, the rejection of the church, and the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith that really is a seamless garment. It's beautiful. It's truth. But once you start cutting it up and dividing it up, and then people start presenting all these different and confused visions of what Christianity is, and it's reduced more and more and more, and the level of confusion increases, I believe this leads to atheism. And then, of course, you had the Enlightenment, which comes along a little bit later, which really flip-flops, puts man in the center rather than God. You have the French Revolution that, you know, does the same, and radically so with the point of the sword, the communist movement and such. More and more, I believe, Jed, darkness and confusion come the more or the further away from God we get, and we're kind of in the tail end of that sort of process. Now, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify here because there, of course, are many other factors, but you also have to add the factors of the problem of evil and real intellectual difficulties people have with the existence of God. I think the problem of evil, to me, as a former one who claimed to be an atheist when I was a teenager, the problem of evil was a big part of that. As well as, I would say, the confusion, as I mentioned before, you know, who in heaven's name even knows the truth, and folks who really struggle with, I mean, that issue of the problem of evil, to me, is probably the single greatest obstacle to belief for the most number of atheists that I talk to. And so there are intellectual difficulties that come from a lot of different angles. I mean, there are some atheists I talk to who it started in Sunday school with, you know, being confused about what God says here. And boy, that sounds crazy. I heard one say that when he heard God is a jealous God, well, what kind of a God would be jealous? That was his first step, you know, out the door. I mean, I get so many different comments from folks. Of course, sometimes it's kind of a puerile sort of, you know, the jealous God thing. But then sometimes I find it to be a much higher level intellectual difficulty that people have. So it's a great question, Jed. It's very complex. But I think the bottom line is atheists will always remain a very small minority because of the fact that we have natural law written into the heart of men. The existence of God is so evident, as St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, the creation demands a creator. And when people really ponder it, including scientists, when you go deeper and start asking the deeper questions of how, and, you know, how can we have this creation that we have without a creator, it ultimately leads to the existence of God. But of course, you know, it's to me, of course, it's quite evident the creation demands a creator. But when I get down and and dirty with my atheist friends and start getting to the nuts and bolts, of course, it can be an interesting conversation. But that's kind of my take, Jed.
All right, Jed. Hope that helps. If you need further discussion, consultation on that, you can always call Catholic Answers off the air. They have from Monday through Friday business hours about 9 to 5 Pacific time. You can call 619-387-7200. And thanks for calling the program. More of your calls straight ahead. We have a line that is has just opened up that Jed was on. Open forum. This is anything goes. Questions, comments, concerns from non-Catholics today. Tim Staples is here to help you at 888-318-7884. Please don't go away.
Hi, this is Tim Staples. Are you looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker to come and speak at your conference or parish event? We've got a whole host of Catholic Answer speakers just waiting to get on a plane and come see you. Go to CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God, to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Would you like to become a Catholic Answers Live parish partner? We need you to help us spread the word at your local parish. We'll give you bumper stickers, window clings, flyers, everything you need to let your parish know about the best Catholic radio show on the air. We want you to partner with us. Email us at calpartners@catholic.com today and become a Catholic Answers parish partner.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Open forum for non-Catholics. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. And I remember my time working at Catholic Answers for about 10 years as the host of this program. And Tim Staples, I would go into the warehouse, the shipping room, and I saw these guys sweating. You know, I mean, they're just like frantically trying to keep up. And I'll bet they're busy right now because the spring sale is going on.
Yes.
You know all about it. You know all about it.
Yeah, man. I'm just a little bit nervous, though, about our guys giving my stuff away like this, you know? Because I told you yesterday, I got 7 kids to feed here. But
right.
No, I kid you, because this is the month of May. My book, Behold Your Mother, is on sale. And I think this is the biggest sale we've ever had on my book. In fact, I know it is. You can get your copy now for $9.95. That's about a 45% discount. So it's a great time to order copies for your friends, your family. And remember, Christmas is only, what, 7 months away, you know?
Never too early, right?
But it is a great time because we've got some just ridiculous sales going on right now, Jerry.
Yeah, if you go to shop.catholic.com and enter SPRING18 as a promo code at checkout, and by the way, it's safe, it's secure when you purchase online at catholic.com, and all of the books and DVDs and CDs and MP3s and the tracks, I think pretty much everything in the store is on sale at least 15% off, but Tim's book, 45% off. It's Behold Your Mother. And Tim, I know on this program from when I hosted, and you know, being on the show all the time, I think questions about Mary probably, I would say, are about, a fourth of 25% of the calls that come in.
Certainly when we do open forum, our general open forum, absolutely. This, doing open forum for atheists or things like that, that number will go down. But, no doubt, I think the number is huge. And I know for me, Jerry, that the Blessed Mother was the last obstacle in my odyssey to the Catholic faith. I mean, I thought you guys were nuts with the Immaculate Conception. What are you talking about? How can Mary be without sin when Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? 1 John 1:8, if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Are you kidding me, right? And so I thought that was insane. The assumption, I used to jokingly say, the assumption is the biggest assumption in the history of the Catholic Church, because there's nothing about the assumption in Scripture. And so in my book, Behold Your Mother, I give you the answers. And I, as you know, Jerry, I focus on Scripture. Now, I do a lot in the Fathers, history and such, but everything has as its foundation sacred Scripture in this book. Behold Your Mother, folks.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing is, a lot of people might be asking, okay, why a book on Mary? Why do we focus on Mary? Well, what is she, I think her only words in Scripture, you know, do whatever he tells you.
Right.
Okay, so do you want to know Jesus better? Do you want your loved ones, family members, friends to know Jesus better? Well, get to know his mother, because she's going to say, look, right over there,
Amen.
Just like John the Baptist did, the Lamb of God, here's my son. Yeah. He died for your sins. So get a copy of Tim's book for yourself. I'd say order about 10 copies right now at this price. You can't afford not to. shop.catholic.com. Everything is on sale. Just use the promo code SPRING18. All right, back to your calls. We're going to go to beautiful Lakewood, New Jersey. Mike, thanks for holding on in there, and you're on with Tim Staples on our open forum for non-Catholics. Hi, Mike.
Hello there.
Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Yes.
Quick question. Basically, want to know is, why did the church allow for the people of the Canary Islands to be enslaved? Portugal was not at war with the Canary Islands, yet in at least three separate bulls, they allowed the citizens of the Canary Islands to be enslaved so long as they were not Catholic.
Actually, Mike, that's not true. It's you're way oversimplifying things. In fact, as early as 14, as you know, the Canary Islands were first conquered in 1404. As early as 1435, the Pope formally condemned the enslavement of these people and made it excommunicable to be even involved in the slave trade. And this condemnation was repeated by Pope after Pope. Now, slavery is a complicated situation, because slavery has many different meanings. The slavery, for example, that existed in the first century was nothing like the slavery that was introduced with the conquering of the Canary Islands in 1404. That is a real line of demarcation to this brutal sort of slavery that would then follow was consistently condemned by the church. But slavery also, the whole idea of servitus was also seen as sort of a penal system. You had slaves, that we would refer to today as a penal system, or going to a penitentiary. At times in the ancient world, people were enslaved because they had a debt, for example, that they couldn't pay. But this was an entirely different kind of slavery than what would ensue here and then would be brought to the New World. And again, the Catholic Church consistently condemned that over and over again, beginning there in 1435, as soon as the Pope got word of the nature of this slavery. No doubt the Church emphasized, and at times, as did Queen Isabella, who condemned that slavery as well. King Ferdinand, Queen Isabella of Spain condemned that slavery as well. But, you know, a lot of times we tend to oversimplify things and don't make proper distinctions, and then we start accusing the church of doing things that she actually did not do, because, again, we have to make distinctions between the kinds of slavery that we're talking about. But in general, the church condemned it.
Okay, Mike. Hope that helps. We are coming up on the hard break in this hour. That's radio jargon, meaning we can't move it. Okay. Affiliates always kind of stock their computers with spots, and they trigger that and they run that. So we're going to get that in about a little less than a minute here. Mike, thank you for calling the program. Jose, you're going to be next in Los Angeles. We have Glenn in Portland, Oregon, listening on Mater Dei Radio. Anonymous in Cleveland, Charles in Pensacola, and why don't you join us? 888-318-7884. There is an open telephone line waiting just for you right now. If you are a non-Catholic but you want to ask a question of Tim Staples, who is a convert to the Catholic faith, our number is 888-318-7884. Don't forget to make your way on over to shop.catholic.com. The spring sale going on through the end of this month. You don't need to wait, though. Get it while it's hot. Just enter SPRING18 in the promo code at checkout, and be sure you take advantage of the 45% discount on Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answer's brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for a solid and dependable Catholic radio station in your area? One that's uplifting and authoritative? A trustworthy tool for the new evangelization? God may be calling you to a mission in Catholic radio. Find out how you can start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the Church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. Contact me, Jack Williams, at 205-795-5756 or jwilliams@ewtn.com.
Live, our Wednesday open forum for non-Catholics. Jury usher in for Cy Kellett. Tim Staples, director of apologetics at Catholic Answers, giving you the responses to what is on your mind right now. Jose, hold on just one more second. Tim, you wanted to add just a tiny bit more to your response.
Yeah, I was going off the top of my head when I responded to our friend about the slavery question, and it's such an important question, because there is so much false information out there concerning the position of the Catholic faith. I mentioned that year 1435, but I just wanted the folks to know that it was Pope Eugene IV. And by the way, between the years 1435 and 1890, long before Vatican II, I actually read an article years ago from a fellow who claimed the Church never condemned slavery until Vatican II. right? 1962 to 1965. I mean, that's how bad it can get out there on the internet. But at any rate, I have a whole list here. It would take up a long time here if I read all of these from Pope Paul III all the way down Gregory the 16th and more. But I wanted to just read this one shortly. We're talking about, what, 20 years or so after the conquering of the Canary Islands. As soon as Pope Eugene IV heard about the slave trade going on, he issued a papal bull, Sicut Dudum, January 13th of 1435, which says, quote, now, specifically, this dealt with the slavery issue in the Canary Islands that our caller asked about. It says, quote, they have deprived the natives of their property or turned it to their own use and have subjected some of the inhabitants of said islands to perpetual slavery, sold them to other persons, and committed other various illicit and evil deeds against them. Therefore, we exhort, through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for their sins, one and all, temporal princes, lords, captains, armed men, barons, soldiers, nobles, communities, and all others of every kind among the Christian faithful of whatever state, grade, or condition, that they themselves desist from the aforementioned deeds, cause those subject to them to desist from them, and restrain them rigorously. And no less do we order and command all and each of the faithful of each sex that within the space of 15 days of the publication of these letters in the place where they live, that they restore to their pristine liberty all and each person of either sex who were once residents of said Canary Islands who have been made subject to slavery. These people are to be totally and perpetually free and are to be let go without the exaction or reception of any money. I mean, you, Jerry, this is the Pope's way of saying this is absolutely true. It doesn't matter whether they're believers or unbelievers. He lists everybody he can think of, every, you know, category of people, to make it very clear that this is absolutely condemned by the church. Now, it's amazing how so many accept, you know, blindly what they read in history books or at their schools that are often anti-Catholic, and in the media, of course. Oh, yeah, the Catholic Church accepted slavery. It was fine. Well, there you have it, from Pope Eugene IV in 1435, which would be reiterated, as I said, over and over and over again.
Right. Well, yeah, and I know we need to get back to calls, but Tim, I just want to speak from my heart for a minute to anybody, you know, non-Catholic, anti-Catholic. You know, this is a perfect example that you need to really read what the church says and has done. And, you know, there is so much, there are lies and misconceptions. I'm thinking about, you know, the Holocaust, for example, Tim, how that's portrayed, you know, and what, you know, what the church did, and what was it, Pope Pius XII, I believe, you know, opened up the monasteries and the convents all throughout Rome and Europe. I mean, nobody other than monks and nuns could get in there normally.
That's right.
He said, take in, and so... Folks, the Catholic Church, I mean, is so Jesus said, you know, if they have hated me, they will also hate you.
Absolutely.
So please, if you are non-Catholic or anti-Catholic and you're buying all of this stuff, you know, go ahead, hook, line, and sinker, and take it all in. Or read the church documents that Tim is quoting now. Yep. This one goes back 700 years.
Yes, yes. And in the case of the Holocaust— I mean, it's incredible that the chief rabbi of Rome, Rabbi Zoli, was so moved by what Pope Pius XII and the Catholics did to save so many Jews that after the war he converted to the Catholic faith and took the name Eugenio, because Eugenio Pacelli was the name of Pope Pius XII. He took Eugenio as his confirmation name. I mean, it's incredible. And then you have, you know, 20, 30 years later, quote unquote, historians that are not worthy of the name calling Pius XII an anti-Semite who cooperated you know, in the evils of the Holocaust. I mean, it's just beyond words what folks will do in maligning the Catholic faith. And again, as you said, Jerry, we do expect it because Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. In fact, Jesus gave us a promise in Matthew 10:22, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, right? So we're not really surprised, but that doesn't mean we don't stand up and proclaim the truth and set the record straight. And hey, we acknowledge that Catholics over the centuries have done bad things, right? All Catholics do not live up to the teachings of the church, and that includes popes. You know, from top to bottom, we've done bad things. But the church herself, at her core, her teachings, her infallible teachings are pure. The moral law, as she presents it, is spotless. And if we live up to her teachings, we are not going to be the problem. We're going to be the solution.
Okay. Well, you and I could have this back and forth discourse for the rest of the hour, but let's go back to the phones. Yes. Open forum for non-Catholics. Jose, thank you for holding on in Los Angeles. You're on next with Tim Staples. Hola, Jose. ¿Cómo estás?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sure. Welcome.
My question is regarding justification. I've been studying this topic for about almost a year, and I hear some Catholic apologists speak of justification in objective terms, and sometimes I hear other Catholic apologists like Father Mitch Pacwa speak, or Robertson Jenness speak of it only in subjective terms. So my question is justification impartation, imputation, forensic, and infusion, or is it one or the other according to the teachings of the church? Yeah. I'm really confused.
Okay, well, I don't understand. You need to clarify, what do you mean by some Catholics saying justification is objective and some saying it's subjective? Can you clarify that?
Apologists like Scott Hahn, Patrick Madrid will say that it is forensic, but it's also an infusion.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they will acknowledge, you know, that we are imputed with Christ's righteousness, but it's not just a forensic legal declaration. It's also the infusion.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So and you're saying that Father Mitch Pacwa would deny that and say that it's not a declaration of God?
In his debate with James White,
mm-hmm.
he did say that I reject the forensic justification.
Yeah,
I just need clarification, that's why.
Yes. Okay, well, I just wanted to be sure where you're coming from, because I happen to know all the gentlemen you're talking about, and they don't disagree at all. I think what we have to understand is, yes, God does, in fact, declare us righteous. There's nothing wrong with saying that when a person is baptized, they're incorporated into Jesus Christ. God declares them just, and I think that's what Scott Hahn was getting at. Now, when Father Pacwa says he rejects the forensic declaration of the Reformers, that's a whole different animal, because the Reformers claimed that declaration was purely forensic, extrinsic to the man. There's no inward transformation whatsoever. You are, to use the metaphor of Luther, we are a pile of cow dung, right? And when God declares us just, we are covered over. He used the metaphor of snow over cow dung, but there's no transfer. What are you underneath? You're still cow dung. See, that Luther took it too far, to the point of heresy, when he declared that. So what we say is God's word, and by the way, I've heard Father Mitch put it this way before. I remember in his debate with Dr. Walter Martin, when he declares a man just, his word penetrates into the very being of the one. When God speaks, what he speaks comes to pass. His word is more powerful than nature. I remember Father Mitch in his debate with Walter Martin said, we'll take that metaphor of Luther and say what God does. Okay. You know, we don't agree with Luther's total depravity, but hey, we get pretty stinky, okay? So, but what we say is God, in that declaration of justice, of justification, God plants the word, the seed, which is the word of God, puts, you know, the water and such of sacraments, transforming that person from the inside out and making that person actually just. Because, as Father Mitch said, God will not call an ashtray a rose or a rose an ashtray. When God declares a man just, it is because he is. See, and that's the problem we have with the Reformed position, is that it is a justification that remains extrinsic to the man. That is absolutely contrary to everything we see in sacred scripture. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, he is a new creation. Behold, all things old are past, all things are become new. There is a transformation to such a radical extent, according to Paul. At that first moment, he becomes a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He raises us from the dead, imbues us with his justice, his righteousness, and empowers us to live this gospel. And then the other thing we want to emphasize here, Jose, is that justification is not just a one-time deal, but justification is an ongoing process. That's why you have, you know, verses of scripture all over the New Testament, for example, Romans 6:16, that says that it's through obedience. Obedience leads to justification. Just as Romans 5:1 says we have been justified by faith, Romans 6:16 says, know ye not, speaking to the same Christians, by the way, whosoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, whether it be sin which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to justification. Hupaka es es dikaiosunein, right? Obedience unto justification. This is why, you know, Romans 2:13, St. Paul would say, it's not the hearers of the law that shall be justified, but the doers of the law who shall be justified. So that's why Jesus would say in Matthew 12:36-37, by your words you shall, and by the way, that's in the context of the final judgment. If you look at verse 36, he says, by your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned. So the idea of justification by faith alone, apart from this obedience, cooperation with God's grace that will lead to justification, is the problem with the Reformers. Their version of justification is simply entirely unbiblical.
Okay. Thank you very much. I apologize if I made the brothers seem like if they were denying that. I was confused about the language.
Oh, sure, sure. No, brother, there's no need for an apology. You know, I'm sure if they were here right now, they would be amen in everything that I'm saying. See, a lot of times, though, I think we have to remember it's context. It's who you're talking to, because we don't want to say that, you know, there's no involvement whatsoever of a declaratory power of God in our lives. No, God sends forth his word and heals his people, scripture tells us. There is a declaratory power, to be sure, that, you know, God declares a man just. It's just that, you know, if you're talking to a fellow who says it is purely a declaration that involves no transformation of the person, then, you know, Father Mitch is going to say, and so would Scott. But if you're on the other side and you say that you so reject the Reformer's position that you disavow, you know, the fact that there is room for God's declaratory power being involved here, well, then you go too far the other way. And I think all involved are trying to bring, you know, these positions together to present an accurate biblical as well as Catholic position.
All right, Jose, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate that. Speaking of that, questions on justification and salvation, Tim, as you so well know, your colleague at Catholic Answers, Jimmy Akin, has written on this extensively, including his book, The Drama of Salvation,
Outstanding.
The Salvation Controversy. And Tim, that's all part of the spring sale that's going on right now. So this is really one of those key issues that kind of gets muddled up a lot of the time. So why should people go to shop.catholic.com and stock up on these at 15% off right
now? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just mentioned a fantastic book, The Drama of Salvation by Jimmy Akin. He has some. In fact, I learned a few things reading that book, because I did the apologetic review on it, and I was, oh my gosh, Jimmy, this is good stuff. You know, outstanding. We have a ton of information at Catholic Answers available right now at these incredible sale prices. I would refer you to Sword of the Spirit, where I deal with the issue of justification as well, along with the papacy, the Eucharist, Mary, the communion of saints. I critique Sola Scriptura. I give you basically, I defend the Catholic faith against the six, well, I should say I present the Catholic faith concerning the six most important topics in biblical apologetics. That's another one. Sword of the Spirit, if you like to listen to CDs, pop them in your car. Sword of the Spirit would be a great thing to get right now. Jimmy's book, Drama of Salvation. But we've got a whole litany. We've got Behold Your Mother, $10. Are you kidding me, Jerry? And we've got so much more, folks, available for you there. And you also have at Catholic.com tens of thousands of pages of free information. You can go there, download, read our tracts, and go to our blog. Again, tens of thousands of pages of free information, folks, so check it out.
Yeah, and Tim, I love what you said. You know, folks, did you hear that? Jimmy Akin wrote a book. Tim Staples did the apologetic review. So you know, when you buy from Catholic Answers, you are getting stuff that has been sifted and sorted through, and everything is going to be just top-notch. So take advantage of the spring sale right now. Save at least 15% and 45% on Tim's book, Behold Your Mother. Go to shop.catholic.com and just enter promo code SPRING18, and you will save on your order. Okay, Glenn in Portland, Charles, hang on. We're going to get to more of your calls on this open forum for non-Catholics in just a moment.
Tim Staples, today on Catholic Answers Live.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
All right, Glenn is in Portland, Oregon, where I spent actually 6 years in formation for the priesthood, the Archdiocese of Portland. Glenn, it's good to have you with us, listening to Modern Day Radio. Welcome. You're on with Tim Staples.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
yes.
a little faint if you're on a speakerphone. I don't know if you can pick up. It sounds like it might be driving. So, anyway.
Yeah, let me pull over here. Hold on.
Okay, just want you to be safe there, Glenn.
Is that better?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
Very well.
Okay. Yeah, I grew up Baptist and then became Pentecostal when I was in my early 20s or so. But then living out here in Portland, my daughter got involved with some pretty serious drugs, and I've just been desperate. So found out the only places open during the day are the Catholic churches to
right.
pray. So I've been sneaking into St. Joseph's and over here at the grotto, the beautiful sanctuary to our sorrowful mother, and I've just been really blessed and listening to Catholic radio. It's been a huge blessing. But, and I've been reading the catechism like a devotional every morning, but I'm still struggling with a couple things.
Okay.
Teachings about Mary, which I sound like you got a great book. I definitely have to read. And I'm also struggling with the Eucharist as far as it being the actual body and blood. And that's where I'm stuck. I'm like, I think I could become a Catholic, but I'm stuck on those two things right there.
Okay. So, well, let's talk about the Eucharist first. What is it that bugs you?
I guess my question is, do I have to believe that it is the real presence? I guess that's I'm struggling
yes.
with that.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's jump in there real quick, and the answer is yes. Before you can become Catholic, remember, when you become Catholic, it's an all-or-nothing proposition. Just like our Lord and Savior, when he walked this earth, you remember what he said to the rich young man who asked him in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, what must I do to have everlasting life? Jesus says, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, I've done all that. Well, give everything, follow me. And he walked away sad. I mean, the church, just like her Lord, says, look, it's you can't accept 99% of what the church definitively declares and reject 1%. Remember, though, the key is we have to accept, before we can receive the Eucharist, before we can be received into the church, we have to accept all that the Catholic Church teaches to be revealed by God. Now, you know, there are matters that are not infallibly defined that you don't have to accept in order to become Catholic, but all those that are definitively taught. Why? Because, you know, to use the language of Scripture, the church has bound these things on earth, so they are bound in heaven. That means God has backed up the church and said, yep, this is true, and you've got to acknowledge it. And the real presence of our Lord is an example of that. Yes, we have to believe that. But the good news is, my friend, that for 1,500 years before the Reformation, virtually all Christians, I mean, you had very few. We could talk Berengarius, you know, in the 11th century, and some very few, you know, who rejected in the very early centuries of the church, Gnostics and such. But Christians, generally speaking, believed in the Eucharist for 1,500 years. In fact, Luther himself believed, at least in the real presence. He denied the Mass as a sacrifice, but he believed in the real presence. So when you look at the words of sacred scripture, this is what I would say to you, my brother. When you look at the words of sacred scripture, Jesus can't make it any more plain. It's impossible in my way of thinking. When the masses of people hear Jesus, when he's declaring, you know, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they say in John 6:52, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That is exactly what I said as a Protestant, and many say, how can these Catholics say he's given us his flesh to eat? Jesus responds by saying, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he goes on to use very, very strong terms to reiterate it over and over again. Yes, you got to believe it. Paul will, you know, back this up, right, in 1 Corinthians 10:15. The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of the Lord? The cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of the Lord? Very, very straight, you know, straight up. It's unequivocal language from St. Paul. And in the next chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, as you know, he says, if anyone eats or drinks unworthily, they eat and drink damnation to themselves because they do not discern the body of the Lord. And what helped me, my friend, is some of the very earliest Christian writings we have. Take St. Ignatius of Antioch in his letter to the Smyrnians in 107 AD. He's talking about some of the Gnostics who denied Jesus had a physical body. And he says they abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they deny that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the same flesh which suffered and died for our sins. I mean, that's the kind of language you get from day one in the history of the church. And so, my brother, I believe it because Jesus said it. Christians believed it universally for the first 1,500 years of the Christian era. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because I think recently I've read those scriptures and it definitely bothered me more than it ever did before.
That's the Holy Spirit, my friend. Absolutely.
Like nothing, no problem. But so thank you. And I just want to say I've been so blessed, and I've been sneaking in, like I said, to the Catholic churches here and to the grotto, yes, which is a beautiful place out here for the
praise God.
For ourselves.
Now, brother, you did mention another topic, and it slipped my mind, though. What was the other one that really bugs you?
Well, it is about Mary, and this is what's kind of funny.
Mary, you know what I'm going to do, because we are almost out of time? I would like to get your address and send you a free copy of my book, Behold Your Mother. And that can be our point of reference, my friend. I will sign it, put my email address, and you and I will have a chat about it.
Hold on the line there, Glenn. Thank you so much for calling. And I know what you're saying. The sanctuary of our sorrowful mother in Portland. Pope Paul VI went there, I think, to what do they call it, like bless it or, you know, open it up or something. And I know what you're talking about, St. Joseph Cathedral, beautiful, beautiful church in Portland. Glenn, thank you. Shane and the others, we're not going to get to you. Tim, thanks. Great job as always.
Too much fun, my friend.
It is too much.
Are we going to be on tomorrow or no? I think I'm on with Cy tomorrow, aren't I?
What?
We pre-recorded
Who is Cy?
We pre-recorded a show for tomorrow, and I was thinking it was you, but I think it wasn't. I think it was
That's
Cy.
All right. It's been great, Tim. 2 days in a row. Vujade. Thank you, man.
Yes, brother. God bless you, man. It's great
to
see
you. All right, God bless. Hey, don't forget the spring sale at Catholic.com. Go to the shop right now. You're going to save 45% on Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. I'm Jerry Escher, in for Cy Kellett. It has been a joy these last 3 days. God bless you.